Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the Exodus. It's on page 76 in your pew Bibles, and we read Exodus 17, beginning at verse 1. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord has said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans. It's on page 1206. And we read Romans 5, beginning at verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, found on page 1138, and we read John 4, beginning at verse 5. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the words of Jesus to the woman at Samaria. Jesus said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I'll give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is our text. Wow, what a week. Stemming from this place in Wuhan, China, where the virus broke out and has been so devastating. But as far as I can tell, while there are far more people over in that nation suffering from coronavirus, they've never turned the water off. But you wouldn't know that if you went to a grocery store this last week and looked in the aisles where all the water is. There are people filling up carts with water and with teepee and all kinds of other things. And last I checked, the coronavirus also doesn't cause digestive tract disorders. They were loading up their carts and emptying the shelves, thinking that somehow by those means they will somehow be better protected. And I just kind of wonder if some individual coming out of Hy-Vee or Walmart with one of those carts jammed full of water, if they encountered Jesus just after they left and he was looking a little thirsty and he said, Could you give me a drink? What do you think they'd have said? Would he have gotten a drink? You know, it's sort of amazing how anxious and panicked the world has become. And seeking comfort in things that really aren't going to help at all. But that's because the world doesn't really understand where our comfort comes from. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. There's something about knowing Jesus that brings calm to our hearts. Because we, as Christians, know that in the waters of baptism, our life has already been made secure. And there's nothing that can really threaten that life which God has given to us. One of the most famous hymns of our church speaks of that security. But you may not have known at what point in human history it was written. It's that hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." One of the closing lines of it, and take they my life, goods, fame, child, and wife, they yet have nothing won. He's judged, the deed is done, the kingdom ours remains. It's somewhat known as the battle hymn of the Reformation. But it's fascinating to know that the battle that Luther was in when he penned those words, it was a situation not much different than ours, except for the fact that it was a whole lot worse. It was during the time period in Reformation history that the bubonic plague was ravaging Germany and other parts of Europe. It was so bad in some towns that Lutheran pastors were frequently burying up to 40 people per day. But it's at that point that Luther wrote that hymn, "A Mighty Fortress." The battle wasn't foreign invaders, it wasn't armies. It was the battle against death itself, brought on by disease. In his works, there's a letter that he wrote to one of the pastors dealing with this crisis. And I thought I'd quote from it to you today. It's in Luther's Works, volume 43, page 132, if you have your own copy. The title of it is "Whether One May Flee from a Deadly Plague." And Luther writes this: "What else is the epidemic but a fire which, instead of consuming wood and straw, devours life and body? You ought to think this way. Very well, by God's decree, the enemy has sent out poison and deadly offal. Therefore, I shall ask God mercifully to protect us. Then I shall fumigate, help purify the air, administer medicine, and take it. I shall avoid places and persons where my presence is not needed in order not to become contaminated and thus perchance infect and pollute others, and so cause their death as a result of my negligence. If God should wish to take me, he will surely find me. And I have done what he has expected of me, and so I am not responsible for either my own death or the death of others. But if my neighbor needs me, however, I shall not avoid place or person, but will go freely as stated above. See, this is such a God-fearing faith because it is neither brash nor foolhardy and does not tempt God. If my neighbor needs me, I'll go. Why would he do that? Because he feared not any enemy, not foreign armies invading, and not foreign diseases invading as well. He knew and wanted other pastors and other parishioners to feel secure in that life which God has granted us. To be diligent and cautious, but not worried or afraid, because our life is in God's hands, and He has already guaranteed it unto us. We have challenges to face in the coming weeks and months, but we need to face it differently as Christians than the rest of the world. Not in panic, but in dutiful caution and with a cheerful attitude, knowing that we really have nothing to fear. Here's some of the things that you should be doing. So when you go to the grocery store and are standing in a line that's 10 deep, keep a couple of jokes in your back pocket and share them with others. And if they ask you, well, why aren't you worried? Keep a couple scripture verses in your back pocket as well. Like when Paul was in prison and he was about to die, he says, you know, to depart with and be with Christ is better. So I'm not worried. Another one from the Apostle Paul. I consider that the present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be ours. Romans as well. Take a cue from Jesus himself. So do not be anxious about what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. And when you see one of those frustrated clerks running around like a chicken with their heads cut off, go up to them and say, you know, thank you so much for all you're doing during these times. You'd be surprised. You might be the only one that's done that. And you'll be remembered. And why do we have the power to do these things? We have the power because of the living water that God has bestowed upon us in our baptisms. We have the power of being born again through the Word and through the sacraments, through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we have been united with Him. And so, take they our life in the words of Luther. Goods, fame, child, or wife, they yet have nothing won. He's judged. The deed is done. The kingdom ours remains. Let's live that way during these troubled days. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.